I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Help us break down that and a whole lot more on this Browns offseason. Let's go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You can find him on SI Now. You can find him several other places as well. He's Matt Verderam, and he joins us. Matt, what's going on?
How you doing?
We're, I guess, excited for a Browns season ahead, but also with low expectations. It's sort of like the weird in-between. I guess you'll be able to help either curb the enthusiasm or help enforce it. Shedeur Sanders in the fifth round, do we like, do we not like?
Look, I think it depends on your perspective. If you're talking about the value proposition at that point, yeah, I mean, you love it. Like he's at this point a fifth round pick. Like if he's terrible, who cares? You've not really lost anything of significance. On the flip side of that, you do have to wonder who decided to pick Shedeur Sanders for the Browns. Was it Andrew Berry? Was Kevin Stefanski heavily involved? Or was that a Jimmy Haslam special of we are taking this guy because in the fifth round, he's going to sell a lot more jerseys than a guard from Idaho. And there's going to be an excitement about him because when they showed the Browns after that pick, guys weren't exactly jumping up and high-fiving and hugging each other. I mean, it was almost a look of like, okay, we're going to take him. Now, honestly, if you're the Browns, like, why not at that point? But, yeah, I do think like, he's going to come in and obviously have much higher expectations and more fanfare and more coverage than just about any fifth-round pick you can remember.
Yeah, I think that obviously plays a part into it. The other thing that really confused me from the draft – on the Brown side of things, was you got Shedeur in the fifth, and then you got Dylan Gabriel in the third. Doubling up on quarterbacks like that, you obviously now have four in the room with the additions of Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco. I mean, if the Browns doomed themselves in a way of too much competition and too many guys around, I don't know, below quality starter level sitting in one room for a season.
I don't think so in the sense that, look, if you're the Browns and you're looking at just, okay, who are the quarterbacks that are competing for a job, right? I mean, Watson's on the team, but he's not going to play next year. So it's Flacco and it's Pickett and it's the two rookies. Okay, well, looking at it logically, you got four guys that are meaningfully going to camp. If you're really paring it down, unless Joe Flacco is beyond washed up, and maybe he is, he's in his late 30s, Kenny Pickett is not better than Joe Flacco. I mean, there's just no world where Kenny Pickett's a better player than Joe Flacco is. And then you get into the rookies. Like Gabriel was a surprising pick in the third round. I don't think he's an NFL starting level player. You never know that sometimes that stuff can surprise you. Dak Prescott was picked in the fourth round. Nobody thought anything of Dak Prescott coming out of Mississippi State, and all of a sudden the guy turns into a pretty damn good football player. But assuming Gabriel's kind of just the guy, Then there's Sanders. And if you're looking at Shedeur Sanders, then that question becomes, okay, well, what is he? Is he the guy that a lot of people thought he was going to the draft in a first-round pick? Or is he a guy that is not even worth the fifth-round pick? Or is he just a fifth-round pick and that's all he is and maybe he's a backup? I think the thing that is tough for Stefanski is figuring out a way to break up the reps. That's going to be the question here. Like, if Flacco is the perceived starter in the moment, okay, fine. Does he get 70% of the first team snaps? Does he get 80%? Does he get 50 and the other guys are splitting the other 50? Like, that I think is a very fascinating part to how the Browns handle all this, because that's going to really matter.
As we go through and look at it, can you in any way help me understand the thought process behind Dillon Gabriel in the third? Because I'm trying to break it down in my head. I don't know if it was just short draft board for the Browns. They identified a few guys they liked, or they truly thought somebody else is going to come up and feel the same way they did about Dillon Gabriel, because everything I saw basically had him as anywhere from, I think the highest I saw was 7th or 8th down to like 10th quarterback in this class.
Well, right. And I would concur. And that's why I really wonder strongly if the Shedeur Sanders pick was a Jimmy Haslam special. It was just, we're taking this guy. You're taking him. And that's it. Because if it was Andrew Berry's decision to take Sanders in the fifth round, then I would strongly question, then why did you not just take him in the third round? And if you think Gabriel's better than Sanders, then why did you take Sanders? Like, what is the point of having both of these guys? We've seen teams double up before. We saw Washington do it years ago in 20, I think it was 12, when they took RG3 second overall, and then they took Cousins in the mid rounds. But that's different than taking two guys in the middle rounds. It just doesn't jive. I don't know anybody going into the draft that thought Gabriel was a better prospect than Sanders. Now, that doesn't mean he's not. Maybe he turns out to be a better player than Sanders. But it does beg the question, okay, maybe the front office takes Gabriel and feels like, okay, we're good there. He's our young lottery ticket, if you will. And then did ownership in the fifth round say, hey, look, we're sitting here at 144. We are taking this guy. And did the Browns, as any team would at that point, the front office go, okay, fine. Yeah, you're the owner. I don't know. I don't know that we'll never, ever truly know, but it smacks of an odd decision, and certainly one that now sets up for a room that is very crowded going into the OTAs and minicamp and then eventually training camp.
Matt Verderam, SI Now, with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So given everything we just laid out, we're getting ready to head into rookie minicamps here. Would you say that either Dillon Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders have an advantage one over the other heading into this thing, or do you think they kind of come in on an even footing?
I think with the coaching staff, they're even footing, but I would say that if we're living in reality, there is going to be a lot of eyes on Sanders. And if he was an ownership pick, there's going to be a lot of pressure to see what he can do. Because, hey, look, we're the team that took the guy that everybody was sitting there on Friday and Saturday listening to Mel Kiper lose his mind over. Well, how is this guy not being taken? What's going on? Well, he went to Cleveland. So, there's going to be a special amount of attention paid to that. Now, I'm sure Kevin Stefanski, rightfully so, would say, listen, I don't care about any of that. Who's the best guy? Who gives me the best chance to win? And if Dillon Gabriel goes out there and, in OTAs and minicamp and all the rest, plays well, plays better than Shedeur Sanders, he's going to get the upper hand. The question is, does he do that? If all things are equal, I think Shedeur Sanders is probably going to get more than not. And the other part of this, too, is, let's be real. If the Browns are 2-7 in November, if things aren't going well, you're not playing Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett at that point. Like, for what? What is the point? There's no investment in those guys. Those guys are gone after this year. Nobody cares. Like, that's where I wonder if you start thinking, like, okay, do we try to get Sanders ready for if the season does not go particularly well? And in honesty, I think most people expect the Browns to finish fourth in the division. If that is the case, then do you start looking at this thing going, all right, we want to see what Shedeur Sanders can do. Now, if Gabriel's awesome, then he gets that opportunity. But if it's equal, I would think that Sanders probably gets on the field.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Matt, as I went through and watched the entirety of the draft play out, I watched the Browns take Mason Graham as a defensive tackle, followed up with a linebacker. They go two running backs, two quarterbacks. They don't address a skill position at wide receiver. They don't address an offensive line. Did it indicate to you at all that this is a team that obviously knows they're not competing in 2025 and a regime that is probably under the understanding they're not getting fired after this year either?
You can make the argument. You could definitely make the argument. Look, I do think at some point here, if you're the Browns, if you're the front office, you have to have an honest conversation with yourselves and go, all right, are we really going to win enough football games that we're competitive this year? I don't see how the answer to that question is yes. The division is brutally tough. The Browns do not have a quarterback. The offensive line is not good. The receivers outside of Judy are not good. What world is there if the Browns win 9-10 games? I mean, it's a big stretch. And so if you're Andrew Berry, you probably and should be having those frank conversations with ownership saying, look, if you're hoping I win 9 games next year, and if I don't, you're going to fire me, then just fire me now because we're not going to do that. So we're going to go into this draft with a 2-draft concept, basically this year, next year. Going to try to rebuild the roster. Now, they, of course, got a lot of picks when they traded back from 2 to 5, and they gave up the rights, essentially, to Travis Hunter. And then they got Mason Graham. They got next year's first from Jacksonville. And I got to tell you, I know nationally, you know, it's every one of us are supposed to pile on Cleveland. I thought the Browns did the right thing. I would have done that trade. And if Travis Hunter turns into Shohei Ohtani in cleats, hey, okay, give him credit. But the Browns got a fortune for moving back 3 spots. And if they're bad, and Jacksonville's bad, and God knows Jacksonville might be bad next year, I mean, the Browns are sitting in a spot where they have 2 of the top 5 picks in the draft. So, you know, look, I think if you're Berry, you're hoping that this is a couple-of-year rebuild and that Haslam's going to let you see it through. And if he does, then I can understand the way they drafted to some extent this year.
As we're right around the corner from rookie minicamp, I think it's one of those things that obviously – it's going to be a media spectacle in Cleveland because Shador's here, so you're going to get videos. I think national media, I'm assuming, is going to be there, and you're going to see videos of completed passes, incompleted passes, where everyone draws conclusions that really probably don't mean anything. Right. But if you're going through and evaluating a rookie minicamp, what, if any, is there a takeaway that you come away with as a reporter, as a fan, being able to watch that and not know what the team's actually evaluating during that time?
This is a boring answer, but no. No. And I tell people this all the time about OTAs. When some guy makes a one-handed catch in shorts and a T-shirt, it's like, listen, these guys are more talented than anybody you're playing with down at the Y. I promise you. Like, every guy out there can make that catch. They just can. Every one of these guys can throw a ball 50 yards on a dime in 7-on-7. They're NFL players. Like, I've shared this story with people before, but to illustrate the point, When I was in college, God, it feels like a lifetime ago, I was a gopher, essentially, as an intern for ESPN's Monday Night Football. And one night, I was in Foxborough, and Trent Dilfer and Steve Young are in three-piece suits and shoes, and they are taking a football out to the 10-yard line and just throwing the ball over and over and over off the crossbar. And then they just started backing up 10 yards, and then another 10 yards until somebody missed. They didn't miss hitting the crossbar until they were 50 yards away from it. They were in their 40s in loafers and just over. And people like look at Trent Dilfer like he was some bust of a quarterback. The guy must have hit the crossbar 10 times in a row. And when he missed by half an inch. Like, and that's why I say when people look at OTAs and see some guy make a throw, they make, it's like, look, it's certainly impressive to you, me, and every other guy who stopped playing sports after high school. But for these guys, that is just – that's warming up. That's part of it. I would not take much stock in any of this stuff.
Matt Verderam, SI Now with us on the hotline. Can you give me any lowdown on Deontay Johnson? I mean, I know everything that we've heard. Obviously, he bounces around with teams last year between the Panthers, where he found some success, then Texans and Baltimore, right, in which he can't even basically step onto the field because of what was deemed his locker room issues. Should I have any confidence heading in with him being a Cleveland Brown, or should I just basically be going into this expecting it to fail?
I would expect, you know, nothing more than making the roster. Look, he is very talented. There's also a reason that Deontay Johnson was traded from Pittsburgh to Carolina. Carolina traded him to Baltimore for literally nothing. I think they moved up 20 spots in the draft. And then Baltimore, who's in the midst of making a serious run at the Super Bowl, just offloaded him for nothing. Houston then signed him. Tank Dell shattered his leg, and the Texans are like, that's all right, we're good. You just stand on the sideline. Like, when that many teams are telling you literally an eighth of the league in 1 year, one calendar year, is like, listen, don't want him. There's a reason. And you know, there is some stuff. And he's even openly said, you know, I targets, get the ball. You've been there for like an hour. Again, I get the ball. Now, look, if he comes in there with the right attitude, then, yeah, he's talented. He's probably the second most talented receiver on the team outside of Judy. But if on the Browns, if he doesn't come in you know, great shape with the right attitude, I'm trying to get Cedric Tillman those snaps. I'm trying to give some of the younger guys a look. I'm not trying to, you know, deal with Deontay Johnson. Like, Johnson, the talent is undeniable. He's not great, but he's a good football player. But his attitude at times has really gotten him in trouble.
All right, Matt, last one, and I'll get you out of here. We see a trade go down, Steelers-Dallas. You deal George Pickens away from Pittsburgh. I've heard everything around, basically, from Steelers country being like, oh, who are, by the way, just chanting how this is the best wide receiver room on the planet, now saying this is addition by subtraction. You sort of get the head case of George Pickens out of there. What's the more realistic view, addition by subtraction or Pittsburgh just got significantly worse?
I got to be honest, like, sometimes there's the rare trade you like it for both teams. I don't like this trade for either one of these teams.
I'm in the same boat.
Because, quite frankly, if you're the Cowboys, you gave up a third-round pick and you might not even keep this guy long-term, then why? Like, what is the point of this? You're not good. What, are the Cowboys going to the Super Bowl now because they got George Pickens? Does anybody in the NFC East care? Like, is Philadelphia now trying to go out and trade for Pat Surtain? Like, who cares? Like, they don't care. They're six games better than Dallas. And I think, you know, Washington is better than Dallas. And then on the flip side of this, with Pittsburgh, look, I get it. You get a top 100 pick for a guy that you weren't going to re-sign. So there's a victory in that. But let's assume they're going to get Aaron Rodgers here for a minute, which I think they will. You're kind of loading up for 1 year with Rodgers, aren't you? So, like, it kind of feels like, well, your best chance is if Pickens just stays on the straight and narrow. You've got Metcalf. You've got Freiermuth. You can run the ball decently. You've got a good defense. Like, yeah, you get a third-round pick out of it, but now everybody and their mother is just going to double Metcalf. Sorry, beat us. Beat us with anybody else. And who's doing it? So I actually think it's a weird trade for Paul. I don't love it. I guess if I had to pick a team, I'd say Pittsburgh, but I don't. To me, it feels like kind of a loss for both teams.
Yeah, I was in the same boat. I said the exact same thing last night. Didn't understand it on either side. So we're definitely lockstep there. Matt, good stuff as always. I always appreciate when you jump on, and hopefully we'll talk sometime soon coming up here.
You got it. Take it easy.
Matt Verderam, SI Now, with us there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We'll react to Matt coming back as well. Get into a little bit more from the Browns here. Mary Kay Cabot saying something that I just made me think twice on the Shador, basically media extent of what happened before rookie minicamp.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.